The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Huge upset loss for the Super Bowl champion Chiefs. A tragic injury for Dak Prescott. But we start with last night's Game 6 of the NBA Finals, where the Lakers were crowned NBA champions of 2020, led by LeBron James, but not just LeBron James on offense. In Game 6, it was the Lakers' defense that stifled the Heat. Jalen, specifically about this game, what did you see on the floor in the bubble?
You and I both spent considerable time in Los Angeles, and for me, living out there 25 years, I just enjoy seeing my friends happy. Happy for Jeannie Buss, the way she took over for her brother and reshaped the franchise. Hired Rob when people questioned that decision. And then all of a sudden, he traded for Anthony Davis, and that guy became the anchor of the defense you're talking about last night, because that ultimately became the difference maker. LeBron James was outstanding, basically averaging a triple-double throughout this series. And AD's offense seemed to come and go in spurts, but he was there when they needed him. The big game winning three earlier in the series to close out a game. A late three-pointer in game five to end that game. But last night was about total team defense. Rajon Rondo was terrific coming in off the bench, contributing on both ends. It was a total team effort. They were in a different weight class as the Miami Heat, and it showed as the series progressed.
Absolutely. With Anthony Davis anchoring the defense in the lane, and whenever the Heat drove, he either blocked the shot, and then they started getting intimidated and try to drive and kick, and the Lakers were all over those passes from the paint as well. It was a full team win for these Lakers. And after the game, after the confetti had settled on the floor, here is what the Finals MVP LeBron James had to say about it all.
We just want our respect. Rob wants his respect. Coach Vogel wants his respect. Our organization want their respect. Laker Nation want their respect. And I want my damn respect, too.
And I want my damn respect, too. Jalen Rose, what exactly does he mean, and who is he talking to?
The Los Angeles Lakers are one of the most storied brands in the history of sports and entertainment. They get their respect. Rob Pelinka is my former teammate at the University of Michigan, and I was on any show that would take me, defending his honor when people were questioning whether he was going to be able to deliver. He did so. LeBron James, no matter who's having the conversation, is regarded as one of the greatest basketball players to ever lace him up. When he says, I want my damn respect too, it's more than just the four championships and the four MVPs. LeBron's talking about how he has his fingerprints on everything, like help building a roster. And now I enter Rich Paul, his longtime friend, who's catapulted himself into the mega agent of the NBA. He represents 6 Los Angeles Lakers. He represents 6 of their players, Jacoby. And so when you have that level of influence and 2 of those players are LeBron James, he signed Anthony Davis while he was in New Orleans. I came on this show and told you that was going to lead to AD being a Laker. Now that same Rich Paul who made sure all of his clients got all of their money during the pandemic is going to make sure while LeBron James continues to get older, AD ain't going to sign no long-term deal. They're going to look deeper into the roster.
That.
What's happening with our role players? What changes are we making? And so because of the Rich Paul influence, the Los Angeles Lakers have delivered another championship. This is why I believe he deserves 2 rings. Let's get on the phone with Adam Silver. Let's make sure Rich Paul gets 2 rings for his contribution to the Lakers.
So, Jalen, I think let's go down the line about the people that he discusses. He brings up Rob Pelinka. And don't forget, They had a bad season 2 years ago, and people looked at Rob Pelinka. Well, he's an agent. He doesn't have a GM experience. Perhaps he should be replaced. And when Frank Vogel was hired, Jason Kidd was right there. Everybody was talking about, oh, will Frank Vogel last the season? Will Jason Kidd take over the reins from him? And LeBron James. Let's just talk recently about LeBron James because we all watched Game 5. Feels like it was a long time ago. We all watched the end of Game 5 when LeBron James made that pass to Danny Green. And everybody was just saying how he should have taken the shot. Even though he's double-teamed, and Kobe would have done this. Michael Jordan would have done that. And now LeBron James, with the confetti on the floor and the finals MVP trophy in his hand, he can say, I want my damn respect. And today is a day to celebrate him and give him his flowers, because after this game, there's been a transition. I've always felt LeBron James is the best player in the league, but I am biased. I'm a LeBron James fan. I'm a fan of LeBron James. But objectively, when you look at the past three or four titles, 3 years ago when Kevin Durant pulled up and shot down LeBron James and those Cavaliers and brought the Warriors the title, he was the king of the court. He was the number one player in the league after that season. After Kawhi Leonard took the Raptors to the championship last year, we weren't talking about LeBron James. He was injured. The Lakers were out of the playoffs. He was the king of the court. Right now, today, is it fair to say that not everyone, but most people consider LeBron James the best basketball player wearing sneakers in the world? Is LeBron James now, in your mind, the king of the court?
Bow down and all hail the king. Because I was one of those people that felt like at 35 years of age, in his 17th season, that he would lose to the Clippers. I thought that that was mm-hmm. going to take place. Mm-hmm. Except they didn't even make it to play LeBron. So I give a hat tip to his professionalism and his teammates and his leadership. Because in the bubble, there are a lot of distinct decisions that players needed to make. And LeBron James, as a leader of the league, not only starting more than the vote, but being on the Wheaties box because of his influence at I Promise School. Being a social justice champion, making sure that his voice is constantly heard. For him to still have that duality and go out and perform the way he did, that now makes him king of the court. And I want to just make sure I clarify something. LeBron James winning the championship and finals MVP doesn't mean Giannis wasn't a regular season MVP, everybody. Those are two different things. LeBron James being king of the court today doesn't mean, like you said, your words, that Kevin Durant didn't shoot him down two straight years and win the championship.
Oh, he did.
It happened.
Oh, he did.
And so the great thing about being professionals is that you don't win it every year. That's the beauty of, like, that's why Michael Jordan spoiled us. That's why Bill Russell spoiled us, because they made us think every time that they were in uniform, once they started winning championships, that they were going to win it. And so when LeBron doesn't win it, it gives the opportunity for those guys to get their acclaim. And so now that it's back and he has the MVP trophy and he has the Larry O'Brien trophy, LeBron James is the best player in basketball.
Absolutely. But let's not forget about Kevin Durant, because you know Kevin Durant was at home watching these games. And you know that he is healthy now, and I look forward to seeing him next season. But we're going to talk about the greatest of all time. We're going to talk about who's the best. But I just want to take today to celebrate what LeBron did in this series. Because if you look at his numbers in this series alone, because don't forget after Game 2, we were talking about Anthony Davis being the Finals MVP. 29.8 points a game, 30 points a game, basically 60% from the field, 42% from three, and he was shooting them too. Not great from the free throw line, 11.8 rebounds, 8.5 assists. I mean, that is a series, and it feels like LeBron puts up these numbers in every finals that he is in. Now, Jalen, I did mention Anthony Davis and the big monster games that he had in Game 1 and Game 2. And I've got a theory, Jalen. I was looking at this and trying to put things in perspective. Ooh. And LeBron James now has four titles. And people talk about how he joined Ooh. Dwayne Wade, and they were a duo in 2000, in the, you know, the early 2000 uh-huh. teens. And then we had the 2016 when he had Kyrie as his running mate. And I was watching this and I said, Anthony mm-hmm. Davis is the best running mate for LeBron James. Now, I know you disagree. Before you do, let me explain it this way. What did we start the show by talking about? The Lakers defense. And if you think about Kyrie, who's a ball-dominant guard, you think about Dwayne Wade, who's a little redundant with James positionally both on offense and defense. What Anthony Davis does is provides that anchor of the defense. He's so good on defense. And I think you might have voted him Defensive Player of the Year, if I'm not mistaken. And that, and his size, and the fact that he plays such a drastically different position, he's not ball dominant, makes him the best complementary running mate for LeBron James, in my opinion. Your thoughts, Mr. Rose?
I'm writing down terms because you keep moving the goalposts. First you said best, and then you said most complementary. Those are two different things. Also, no. I don't know who you was having. AD should be Finals MVP conversations with after the first two games.
After game two.
Because that was
not game two, that was a conversation.
The only way he would have won MVP is if he would have had Wilt Chamberlain type of numbers in this series. LeBron James was going to win Finals MVP if the Los Angeles Lakers was going to win the championship. And lastly, better means their influence as it related to the team winning the championship. And LeBron James, I've been there each time as a member of the media, he's won the finals, all 10. I was there for the nine. I was there for the 6 losses and 3 wins before this year. Let me tell you something. Better means what they also add to him. Okay, you told me all of the things that AD does defensively, but you didn't tell me how he also helps make LeBron better. Okay, so that's why the answer to this question first is Dwayne Wade. We forget why he left Cleveland the first time. He left Cleveland the first time because he was frustrated as an MVP that he felt that they couldn't build a team around him to win a championship. So he wanted to go to Miami, join Wade, join Bosch, create a super team that could possibly win not 5, not 6, not 7. And they were able to do that. They won 2. Kyrie Irving, the same player that when they were down 1-1, 2-1, 3-1, you predicted the Cavs are going to come back to win. You.
I did.
You predicted the Cavs going to
exactly
come back. That was you, right?
Exactly what I did.
Okay.
Yes, that was me.
And you were right. And you were right. But you know, when you look down at that stat sheet and when you're in the arena, you know whose influence was on that championship as much as LeBron's? Kyrie Irving. In particular, mm-hmm. in the championship rounds, game 5, game 6, they both had 40. Game 7, Kyrie Irving had to play drawn up for him to make the big shot. So when you say best, him and AD are the most compatible because one is leading the league in assists and the other one is 6'11 and got my vote for all defensive. And they will probably continue to evolve as the best duo in LeBron's career. But you can't overlook what he did with Wade and what he did with Kyrie. Those guys were getting the ball in clutch moments. AD did also in this series when he made that big time 3. So I want to give him credit. But those two guys were special with LeBron.
We will continue to have this debate. We'll continue to talk about the greatest of all time later on in the week. We'll be breaking down this championship all week long. However, there was a huge Sunday in the NFL. The Super Bowl champs went down, as did the quarterback of the Cowboys.
Are you
we'll
ready
discuss
for the
that
football?
Right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams from Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by Burger King. The 3-for-3 deal is now at Burger King.
It's a new day on ESPN Radio with new voices that have big things to say. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
That's how you build a winning culture.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz.
You are like the Einstein of life.
Reading.
How ridiculously good was that?
The Max Kellerman Show.
Why not get out in front of it?
And Janae Golick Jr.
I knew we were destined for greatness.
All day, every day.
Big names, new voices.
It is time to go to work.
Real talk. Weekdays on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and smart speakers everywhere.
Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport and brought to you by Chase, welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, the Cowboys beat the Giants yesterday, but that is insignificant as in the third quarter. While Dak Prescott was moving his offense down the field, he suffered a gruesome ankle injury. Jalen, what do you think this means for his future, his health, and his relationship with the Cowboys?
I felt bad for Dak and his family because you know I stress it's the score of the game and it's the game of life. and his brother took his own life recently. Dak came out and talked about his anxiety and his depression. The season started. The Cowboys didn't necessarily, in particular, defensively get off to the start that he wanted. He was putting up some numbers offensively. They were coming from behind in those first couple of games. And then all of a sudden, this happens. The kind of injury that ends your year when you're playing on the franchise tag and you're going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Jacoby, I said this previously, but now it may ring more true. The Dallas Cowboys may lose Dak Prescott because they couldn't get a deal done before the injury. Now when he comes into the office, they're going to look at him like a used car. They're going to say, hey, Dak, we love you. We know that you're going to be our franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. But because that ankle injury that you had, let's put some fine print into your contract. And then he's going to be like, not going to be able to do it. And so it's going to be interesting. If he couldn't get his money healthy, how is he going to get his money coming off an injury like this? It's going to cause him to miss the rest of the season. The Dallas Cowboys won't win a playoff game, likely won't make the playoffs, and this is going to be another overall disappointing season for the Dallas Cowboys team.
Absolutely. And we often talk about statistics and contracts and so much as we talk about and analyze these games, but watching him be carted off into the tunnel and the tears in his eyes and his fist in the air really brought tears to my eyes as well. And my heart and our hearts and thoughts and prayers are with Prescott and the Prescott family. But we move on to something else. One thing that we do here when we talk into microphones about sports is we make predictions. And we will not show them when we're wrong, but we will show them when we're right. And here is me from last Friday on the podcast. Jalen, I'm about to pick an upset this Sunday, 1 p.m.
Uh-oh.
Chiefs are going to lose. The Super Bowl champion Chiefs are going to lose to the Las Vegas Raiders. Guess what happened at 1 p.m. on Sunday? The Chiefs lost to the Las Vegas Raiders. Derek Carr had over four passes that went 40 yards. Jalen, what happened to the Chiefs?
I want to give you credit for your prediction, even though you didn't say it with your chest. That's another subject for another day. I want to shout out the Raiders, who they're explosive, dog. Mm-hmm. They're explosive. Derek Carr and John Gruden, he finds a way to dial those plays up to get cats going deep. And that's who they've always wanted to be. And building through the draft. This is how you get your running back. This is how you get your tight end. And for them to suppress the offense of the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, who did a couple of special things. How about the one time, Jacoby, when it was like 3rd and 20, and he was running around, and he's about to run across the line of scrimmage, and he stopped, and then he fling the football across his body, but the guy dropped it. That, to me, embodies what happened to them in that game versus a team that now, all of a sudden, the Raiders are starting to feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
When you beat the defending Super Bowl champions, you walk around with your chest out a little more after that win.
Yes, you do. And for those of us that watched the NBA Finals last night, and we watched the confetti go to the floor, and we watched LeBron make his comments and everything that happened, you turn the channel over to the Sunday Night Football game, and wow, did you get yourself a fourth quarter. Mike Zimmons and the Vikings had a 4th and 1. If they completed that play, they would have sealed the deal. But no, they gave the ball back to Russell Wilson, who did what Russell Wilson always does, connected with Metcalf a couple times. Fourth down completions a couple times and winning the game against the Vikings. Why do you have your head in your hands shaking your head?
Well, so Mike Zimmer is a meat and potatoes type of coach, right? So I know how much he loves the run game. But when Dalvin Cook goes out, and Madison did well by filling in for him.
He did do well.
He's not in the game. You got to kick the field goal, dog. You got to kick the field goal. You got to get up 8. Let me see. You score a touchdown, that's worth 6. If you get a 2-point conversion, that's worth 2. Oh, that means that we can't lose. That means we can't lose. You gotta kick the field goal. Let me say that first. Second, Russell Wilson is so very special that he and DK Metcalf have become such an elite combination that Metcalf is the only receiver in the NFL to catch for at least 90 yards in each game this year. The only one. And Russell Wilson now has that level of greatness that when we was watching this game, Because at first when the Vikings had the ball, it was raining a little bit. And then if you notice on their final drive, it kind of stopped. And I was watching that. I was like, if it ain't raining, they definitely going to drive and score. And how Russ just picking them apart, picking them apart, picking them apart. And boom, the dagger for the touchdown.
Jalen, the Los Angeles Lakers just won a championship. But Anthony Davis is officially a free agent. We will discuss that decision coming up next. You don't want to miss that. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams from Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Huge fight Saturday night. We have Lomachenko against Lopez. That is at 10 p.m. on Saturday night with all sorts of championship belts on the line. Make sure you tune into that. It's something you don't want to miss. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, today as the champagne dries off all the clothes of the Laker team in front of executive officers, there's something to consider. Anthony Davis is a free agent. When asked about it, he said he would talk to his agent about it. What do you think their strategy is going into free agency?
I think his strategy is going to be to play with LeBron James in LA the next couple of years while LeBron's still playing at his all-NBA MVP finals championship level. And then ultimately, I believe his goal, like I've said on this show, is to also do what LeBron did. That's return to Chicago and try to deliver a championship to his hometown team. I think that's the long-term plan.
I mean, that almost directly mirrors LeBron's career path himself. You spend 7 years developing yourself. You decide you can't do it. You join up with superstars. You get multiple championships. And then you return to your hometown to try to bring the Larry O'Brien trophy back there. Jalen, one thing I do want to say that you kind of breezed over is you didn't mention him asking for a max contract for the Lakers. You think that he'll take a shorter contract, sort of the LeBron James clutch style kind of contract?
Oh, no doubt. He 1-1. He like, remember in college you shoot the 1-1s? He 1-1s until LeBron retired. 1-1s.
Tomorrow we will be on ESPN at 2 p.m. Make sure you listen to our podcast in the meantime. We always say we give the people exclusive content on the podcast. It's very important to us. And today on this Monday, with the full slate of games in the NFL and the NBA champions being crowned, there is so much to talk to that we couldn't get to in the television show. And I want to start with the NBA championship. Jalen, the Lakers must feel so good. Everything they've gone through this season, which we've chronicled before, but there's something that was just so broken about this championship. There's something that really bothered me about this championship. Do you want to know what that is, Jalen Rose?
What's that?
Can't party. You can have a party. I'm sure there's music there, and I'm sure your teammates are there, and I'm sure there's liquor there, but you can't really party without a true venue, you know what I mean? Without an after party somewhere else, without text going on between the team and the text thread, be like, let's go to this address at 6 a.m. Like, you can't really, really complete the championship experience the way that you want to. You can't have a parade. Like, yeah, congratulations. Honestly, in certain respects, you can make an argument it was the most difficult championship to win in the history of the NBA. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying they didn't get to celebrate the way that they should have. And I'm bothered by that, Jalen. And as someone who likes to go out and enjoy themselves and celebrate, aren't you bothered by that a little bit?
No, because, Jacoby, think about it like this. Don't think about it partying for now. When you win a championship, you get to celebrate forever. And their opportunity to leave the bubble is a celebration because they've been there 3 months. And if you follow J.R. Smith on IG, they clearly was turning up and having a really good time to the point where they even left Quinn Cook at the arena.
Left him back.
He was
Quinn
in the
Cook had to comment on J.R. Smith's IG. Had to comment on his IG, like, turn the bus around. Y'all forgot about me. Which I love.
And so,
I just want to hear, like, yo, Kyle Kuzma. I want LeBron to text Maverick and be like, Kyle Kuzma just left the party with 17 women. You know what I mean? Like I just feel like the bubble environment doesn't lend itself to the type of celebrations that we've grown accustomed to with NBA championships.
No, No, but don't dismiss what I'm saying, because I'm trying to tell you what happened. So usually, you leave the bubble, and then you go jump on the flight. I believe that flight was to Miami. And then that's where you party at. And you do get to enjoy yourself and celebrate, just like LeBron's team did when they won it.
In 16, they went to Vegas. But I was saying COVID-19 kind of kills that. You know what I mean? Because I don't even want to go inside a restaurant and sit down. I'm definitely not going to a nightclub. I'm definitely not going to a parade.
Jacoby, you thinking about this all? You thinking about this like the average Joe? Think about this like the Lakers are a $1 billion organization. Think about it like this is 15 multimillionaires. They can have whoever, wherever they want. Okay, like. And I'm going to push back a little bit on a narrative of, like, this is the most difficult championship ever. I feel like psychologically for the players, and after the tragedy of George Floyd being murdered and the unrest as it related to Breonna Taylor and so many other people, like, psychologically, like, our country hasn't been in this place for any of us. So I can't just give it more to Anthony Davis than I can to Kelly Olynyk. Like all of them had to make that equal sacrifice. And so I want to appreciate the greatness of LeBron James by lifting his team. But they did party, they will continue to party as they should. But the enjoyment is leaving the bubble. And I joked when I saw Bronny smoking nuggets that LeBron's getting each series over with in three. He can't wait to get home. The
so
happiest person that they
that.
Won was Bronny. Bronny is the happiest person they won the championship. Because imagine if they would have lost.
Oh, if they would have lost.
We see LeBron as the king. But imagine if that was your dad. You know what I'm saying?
And we've seen him yell at his teammates. Dad. Imagine how he yells at his son.
Yes. So, yeah, they got a chance to party. They got a chance to enjoy it. And Quinn Cook, I got love for him. I remember meeting him when he played at Duke. He was a huge Fab Five fan. I want to ask you a question. Do you think LeBron or AD get left at the arena?
No. Oh, no, 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 no. No, they don't. They don't.
So what does that say then?
Oh, there's a hierarchy on it. Oh, there's a hierarchy in every organization, whether you play basketball or you're an accountant. There's a hierarchy in every organization, hierarchy in the family, hierarchy in your friend group. There's unspoken hierarchies in every group of human beings that people just get uncomfortable talking about. But you know, you know what? They don't even leave Morris. They don't leave Morris. You know what I mean? they don't leave KCP. Quinn Cook just took a shower too long. Because you know you got a shower after all that champagne was everywhere. Just took too long in the shower. Took too long in the shower. And another thing that bothered me is, and I'm going to say this every time there's a champion, there's got to be some liquor bottles somewhere in the locker room. All that beer and all that champagne, too fizzy. You know they all got the hiccups. They're all kind of covered in it. And the Michelob Ultra doesn't hit the same. You know, it's fine. I drink Michelob Ultra sometimes because I got a belly. But it doesn't hit the same as some of the other beers. Champagne is nice for a glass, but I'm not trying to get drunk on champagne like Kyle Kuzma said he was when he was at the podium. What do you think about Kuz saying that he had some libations before hitting the podium?
Well, I came up in an NBA, and it happened way before I was a part of it, where there was as many beers in the cooler as it was Gatorades. Like that's just how it was. It was a cooler full of Gatorades, and it was like three or four more coolers of beers. And so, he ain't the first person to go to a podium in an NBA after an NBA game after he had a couple of drinks. But Kyle Kuzma and Danny Green, I'm going to say both of those names because we're going to fast forward this 20 years. Mark this tape.
2040?
20 years from now. Yeah, 20 years from now. When the story about this team is written, I hope Danny Green and Kyle Kuzma aren't unhappy with their portrayal like Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant. Because those are two players that the public, fans, vilify for the Lakers. I mean, like, really vilify them. In particular, Kyle Kuzma. And I believe a lot of Kyle Kuzma's has to do twofolded. One, I and so many other people felt like he was going to escalate his game and become a member of the Big Three, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't
Absolutely.
Do that. So, therefore, yeah, there's some level of frustration that he didn't hit that mark. However, as a late first-round pick that's still on the team and is still being a contributor, he's not as bad as they portray, but clearly no. he's not as good probably as a lot of people assume that he can or should be. But the other part of that is jealousy. And I bring this up because exactly what you just said. Kyle Kuzma leaving the party has 17 people with him, have 17 girls with him. And so fans subliminally get jealous of Kyle Kuzma because they see that he's not an ugly dude. He's socially active. He's posting his outfits, and he's dating heartthrobs and stuff like that. So subliminally, people have a level of jealousy that they don't realize that they have. And then for Danny Green, while we're talking about people who win in championships with their third team, also say Danny Green, because he actually just did that too. And how about the fact that he and Coach Phil won back-to-back championships? That's an assistant for the assistant for the Lakers. He was also Phil assistant Handy. For the Raptors last year. Phil Handy. Danny Green's a champion. But people going to be talking about that missed three-point shot.
People can I say something about that missed three-point shot. Can I say something about that? Can I say something about that? It's got nothing to do with whether LeBron yes, has the clutch gene or whether LeBron should have done this or that. This is something that you listen to this podcast have never heard anybody say about that three-point shot, which I think is very important. Whether or not you think it was the right decision, we can table that for a second. I feel the accuracy of LeBron James's pass is something that people aren't discussing. That was not right in the shooting pocket. It was a little low, a little to his right, and anyone that's played basketball on any level knows that if you put the ball in a three-point shooter right where they want to shoot, it's got a better chance of going in. Now, should he have still made it? Was there defense around him? Blah, 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 blah. But I'm just saying that's one thing that you haven't heard any analyst say is, should LeBron – let's just assume that we all agreed LeBron James made the right play. He should have made a better pass. I just wanted to say that on wax.
I want to say a few things on wax. The debates after game five, like we're celebrating LeBron and the Lakers – and we're going to do it as long as we can, and we should, because they deserve it. But the last 2 minutes of game five is what we really going to be talking about moving forward. And I'm glad we have this podcast forum for me to actually tell you what that means, because I really didn't get the chance. Countdown shows are 30 minutes. They go fast. And obviously our J&J show. The last 2 minutes of game five embody everything I personally love about sports. It was greatness going back and forth with LeBron and Jimmy Butler. It was the versatility of how they were scoring, whether it's Jimmy Butler one leg on the baseline, whether it's LeBron James making threes. Like it wasn't just drive and kick and shoot the three like 95% of teams play. Like it was like real old school point game basketball at the park where you're trying to get a basket or a foul. And I loved that. It was like a heavyweight fight going toe-to-toe. And as you progress, though, and it gets under 2 minutes, and then it gets under a minute, the other thing I start to love is then you start to separate the men from the boys. And you brought it up. And I'm going to make sure I make this clear. I was watching when the Lakers called timeout. I looked at Paul Pierce. I looked at Maria Taylor. And then I looked at Jay Will. And I said, Jay Will, you and I had this argument a lot. Who's the GOAT, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? If the Bulls were in the huddle right now and they came out back to the floor, who gonna shoot the ball? He's like, Michael Jordan. I was like, right now for the Lakers, who gonna shoot the ball? We all looked around. Maria was like, She was like, Danny Green. I was like, KCP. Paul was like, Anthony Davis. And I was like, so now, here's what I wanted to show y'all about this fork in the road. There are two different types of greatness. Just like there are multiple ways to order a steak. Or some people like medium rare, some people like medium well. It's like you're splitting hairs with these all-time great players. It's the greatness that we're going to get on your cape and you're going to carry us. Or it's the greatness that I'm going to make everybody around me better.
Yep.
Magic Johnson was the latter. I'm going to make everybody around me better. Mm-hmm. LeBron James falls into that category. Make everybody around him better. But you know what I really wanted to see in a heavyweight fight? I wanted to see a knockout. I like decisions. You know how much I love Floyd. 50 fights. But you know one of the things people knock about Floyd? They say he ain't had no power. I wanted to see a knockout. And you know why I didn't get that knockout? I'm going to go to that final play. When LeBron James got the inbound pass, and I'm going to compare that to when Michael Jordan made the game-winning shot at Utah. And this is a basketball point that I'm going to teach everybody. As a 6'8 guard, there were times I was going against small guards where I was like, I'm going to pass it to somebody else because they got the quickness, but then I'm going to take them to the post and take advantage of them. Right? I'm going to get in the scoring area. The Miami Heat know that LeBron James preferred to dribble and shoot with his left hand. They know that. They know that. So Jimmy Butler got right up on LeBron's left shoulder. And you know what he forced him to do? Turn his back. See, when you're in attack mode and you know somebody can drive by you, Jacoby, you play basketball all of the time. People that are quicker than you,
everybody,
and they got the ball, what do?
Back up.
Correct. Jimmy Butler didn't back up. That's the first thing. So LeBron should have unlocked the floor. He should have unlocked the floor. He should have faced up, did one or two hard dribbles, and got that dude off of him. It's like getting a pit bull off your leg. Like, just get off me for a second. Let me think about what I'm trying to do. He didn't do that. You know what he did? He called for a screen. Now he's being the LeBron James, the intellectual basketball player. I'm going to make the best basketball play. The Heat won the scout. They took away his left-hand dribble. They took away his left-hand shot. And Jimmy Butler took away his aggressiveness. He calls for the screen. Danny don't set the screen. Robinson actually does a really good job of hedging on the play. But here's the teaching point that goes over everybody's head. And look up because you don't want to miss it. When LeBron James drives right, he shoots a layup or a dunk 97% of the time. I didn't say 17%. I didn't say 27%. I didn't say 37%. When LeBron James is driving right, he going all the way to the basket. He is not pulling up. They know that. I know that, he know that. So now it becomes, you didn't unlock the floor with Jimmy and get him off you. So now you basketball genius, you're gonna still try to make a play for your teammate. He does a great job driving. Now usually that right hand drive, you got a lot of chances to pull up. You got a lot of chances to pull up, Jacoby. You got a lot of chances. With that, did he start a half court?
Well, we saw Jimmy Butler do it all the time. Jimmy Butler only drove right, and correct, he pulled up from 8, he pulled up from 10, he pulled up from 2, he pulled up from 4. He did a little spin move. Like, Jimmy Butler basically had a whole package of things to do when he drove right all series long. All series long, especially game 3,
correct,
and game 5.
And so this is where I'm trying to teach that even Superman has a kryptonite, and it's great. Like, most people don't even know this. Only 3% of the time LeBron James is going to pull up at a mid-range shot. 3%. Three. Okay? So now, once he drives, he ain't going to pull up. That was another chance to give me my knockout. See, in 98, when Jordan stole the ball from Karl Malone, that's all-time greatness defensively. Guess what they ain't do? They ain't call timeout. You know why? They knew who was shooting the ball. They ain't have to. There wasn't no question. They knew who was shooting the ball. And Byron Russell tried to get up on Michael Jordan. When you go back at that play, Jordan got it, hit him with a hard bounce, made him back up, unlocked the floor. And then that's when he went into his bag and crossed him over and made the shot. And so LeBron didn't do that with Jimmy at half. He didn't pull up for three. He didn't pull up at mid-range. But since he's a basketball genius, I'm still going to find a way to get one of my teammates open. So now you drive the ball. You converge the whole team. You kick it out to Danny Green and Jacoby. This is why I love you, brother. Nobody talking about the fact that was a bad pass. Danny Green had
good
to
decision.
Knock the ball down,
good
had
decision,
to dribble
bad
it
pass.
Once, and then shoot it. It was a bad pass. It wasn't no off-target pass. It was a bad pass. So that's called that's a bad pass. And so Danny Green, by the way, gets paid $15 million a year to make open jump shots. I don't care if it's a bad pass. I don't care if he rolled it to your feet. If you that open, you got to hit that.
Yep.
And so here's another teaching point. People that want to uplift Michael Jordan, they say, or uplift people who want to uplift LeBron in a GOAT conversation, they say, well, Jordan passed it to Kerr and Jordan passed it to Paxson. And I have to stop people. Jordan did not pass it to Paxson. Horace Grant did, number one. Number two, there's a difference between facing up like you're doing against Byron Russell versus having your back to the basket. Those are two different actions. If he has your back to the basket, then the guy comes to help, then you kick it to Kerr. And by the way, Steve Kerr is a better shooter than Danny Green. And also, Steve Kerr wanted the shot and was making shots that game. Guess what Danny Green have been doing this whole series? Not making shots.
This series, this playoffs, and don't sleep on last playoffs. Yeah, he won a championship, but he didn't remember when he was with the Spurs, he was part of the main factors of winning those championships. But with the Spurs and the Lakers, he has not performed on that end of the floor shooting shots the way that he did when he was with the Spurs.
And so you pick teams, you coach teams, you play on teams. How many times when it's point game and it's hot outside and the wind blowing and you got to wait three or four games to play again, is you going to pass it to the worst shooter you got on the team to shoot the game-winning shot?
Never. And also, as the worst shooter on the team in most situations, I don't want the ball. I don't even want it. I'm mentally weak. I'm being honest with myself. Everyone act like they're Jimmy Butler. I'm not Jimmy Butler. Like I literally don't want the ball. I'm a Markieff Morris that pass right out of bounds. Because I think people give a Markieff pass. There was no one happier as the confetti was coming down from the ceiling, or from the floor, actually. There was no one happier than Markieff Morris. There was no one happier than Markieff Morris. Because I'm sure you've seen by now how open LeBron was, which is where I want to get back to how silly these debates are sometimes. I know this is hypothetical, and I don't like doing hypothetical highways.
Hold on, one more thing before you go into the debate. We're going to talk about that debate for 50 years.
I'm not going to the debate, but go ahead.
Let me finish with that play. What'd you say?
I'm not going into the debate, but go ahead.
What'd you say?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
And so now Danny Green misses the shot. Morris gets the rebound.
Great job.
He didn't unlock the floor either. Defense was up into him. He was turning like this. All he had to do was just face up and do a little jab. And that's actually his money shot. That's actually how he eat. That's his money, actually. But then he looked up at that clock, and he did the exact same thing I did when I was watching. I was like, it's still 5 seconds? I was like,
Danny shot with 9 seconds left, which is smart. I like shooting with 9 seconds left to give yourself an opportunity, but there's time. I don't like it in that situation when they shoot with no time left on the clock. Like, why are you doing that? If you miss, you can foul. There's other things you can do.
And so you, Morris, you got the ball. You obviously got three options, dribble, pass, or shoot. What he was actually trying to do if he wasn't going to shoot it or do what I just said was actually smart.
Exactly my point, too.
Anthony Davis was right in front of the rim. And this is where I'm glad you brought up the mentally weak part. Because he had two choices. Duck in and ask for the ball or move. And Morris was about, Keith was about to pass him the ball, and he realized he was moving. That's why it sailed out of bounds. That's why it sailed out of bounds. He was about to pass it to AD, and he was like, oh no, this dude moving. AD should have ducked in. He should have ducked in. And then the AD other thing is, Keith should have also kicked it to the corner to Pope.
Or, I mean it's easy to see when you see that for a fact. Because LeBron James is actually wide open, right? He's wide open. But, like, again, like, you know, it's an unnatural pass to go elbow to elbow. Exactly. It's an unnatural pass.
Correct.
See,
I'm not asking him to do that pass.
Yeah.
I'm not asking him to do that pass.
A lot can go wrong.
You get it right there to KCP. No, we're going to keep this simple. You throw it to AD ducking in, or you throw it to KCP in the corner. Don't try that AD pass. Four people going to steal that. He throw that pass.
Yeah. And the LeBron pass.
Correct. So as I digest that last 2 minutes, it's the greatness of LeBron, it's the elevation of Jimmy Butler, it's Miami Heat outplaying expectations, the Los Angeles Lakers doing an amazing job winning their 17th championship. So now when that book gets closed, we're going to say who's the greatest to do it. What I saw in game 5, it really cemented my argument that Michael Jordan is and will be the greatest basketball player to ever do it.
Well, you can't say will be because, you know, human beings will hopefully be on this earth for a long time, okay? But, you know, I will say this, that we've got some discussions on this very topic coming up. We've got a lot of GOAT discussions, and we're in the lab cooking them up right now, and those will be on future shows. But I think it's also important to recognize Jimmy Butler, who said, and we might discuss on a TV show tomorrow, who knows, but he said, we'll be back after they lost. And I've got news for Jimmy Butler. The Nets have a squad next year. The Bucks are returning with Giannis next year. The Sixers have a new coach. Like, the East, this isn't one of those, like, when the Cavs lose to the Warriors and they're like, we'll be back. You're like, yeah, you probably will be back. The Celtics are going to be the Celtics next year, too. Like, the East is competitive. We talk about the cluster of teams in the West that could win. It feels now, more than it has in I don't know, a decade, especially since LeBron's been there, more than a decade, that the East is also wide open with a bunch of quality teams, much like the West has been for a long time. Your thoughts on that?
Well said and agreed. And I noticed once the league entered the bubble, like the text and the email and the communication and talking to people in the league on the phone, it just expanded because everybody was sitting still. And I'm going to give you two broken news jewels strictly for the pod exclusive family. One, Anthony Davis eventually going to end up in Chicago. That's one. Number two, as we get back to your Jimmy Butler point, Giannis in Miami, you hearing me talk about it right now? I'm just going to tell you. Giannis to Miami, just like LeBron to Miami, that's what this run was all about. This run was all about the recruitment of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Trust me, y'all. I know people in every organization from top to bottom. And I'm telling you, all this was a Miami Heat audition for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
We're doing that in a TV show tomorrow, Jay.
I would love for him to stay in Milwaukee. I've been the number one cheerleader of him staying in Milwaukee. But I hate to break it to Bucks fans. I believe Giannis ends up with the Miami Heat over the next 2 seasons. Just like I felt Anthony Davis will end up a member of the Los Angeles Lakers.
So, first of all, we'll definitely do that on the TV show tomorrow. It's just such a strong thing. And I can't act like I didn't have the same thoughts. Not just specifically about Giannis, but I'm thinking this Miami Heat team is not going to win a championship. Okay? They're not going to win a championship. They're not going to achieve their goal. But if I am a star player on another team who's unhappy with their situation that wants to join a franchise, this was not just a Jimmy Butler coronation. It was also a coronation of Heat culture, which we've seen be successful before. Not just when LeBron decided to go there either, but with Dwayne Wade and my guy White Chocolate and Shaquille O'Neal. You know, like we've seen this exact franchise, front office, Pat Riley, bring three sets of NBA Finals teams to the table And this one, obviously due to injury and coming up against a great opponent, didn't finish the deal. But man, if I'm Giannis and I'm sitting at home for the last 3 weeks watching these games, I'm taking a hard look at Pat Riley and the Heat.
Well, just remember where you got the jewels from, because I'm already put it out there. And I told the people who I were talking to that I was not going to say anything during the playoffs. I was going to wait till after the champion was crowned. Now that the champion is crowned, I'm going to put it out there. Giannis to Miami is a real thing. The Milwaukee Bucks, you on the clock. The hourglass is ticking. Yeah. And between their head coach and their expectations, they fall short, Giannis to South Beach. I'm putting it out there.
All right, Jason. One thing I love about the podcast exclusive, it's not as regimented. We get longer time to express ourselves and go deep dives into things. And one thing I'm thinking about Giannis in the Bucks situation is it's not just where he's going to play next year if he leaves. It's what happens if they don't start the way that they should start. What happens if there's some cracks in the foundation during the season before the trade deadline? Then the Bucks have to say, do we take a gamble and potentially lose him for nothing, or do we trade Giannis? I personally think that you take the gamble if you're the Milwaukee Bucks because you have a generational star. But could you see a world in which the Bucks end up actually trading Giannis before the trade deadline, before free agency?
I think at some point I'll be attending the Board of Governors meetings representing the Pistons. So I've been around a lot of owners, dog. And let me tell you how they look at this. How is it going to affect my bottom line and my reputation? Whether he stays or goes. And here's the answer to your question. You do not trade him. Because if you trade him, then the fans get upset at you.
Like Anthony Davis.
If you let him walk, then they get upset at him.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep. By him being like the franchise.
And that's vastly different. Correct. And so now, like KD, for example, he chose to leave. The fans were mad at him. You see what I'm saying? AD chose to leave. LeBron chose to leave. So the fans were mad at them. But if you trade them, then they mad at you. And that affects your bottom line, because when you lose an MVP, y'all clearly ain't going to be good for a while. So you're a bad team, and your fans mad at you, and Milwaukee ain't a desirable free agent destination. So now you just sunk your dollar. You don't do that. I don't care if you get bounced in the first round. I don't care if y'all don't. You just let him play it all out. And if he leave, he leave.
Interesting. And I also like what you brought
up
about.
Sign and trade.
Sign a trade, you do something sort of like the Warriors and Nets did, where you know everybody kind of wins a little bit. You know, you get the Warriors and Nets deals.
KD.
Yeah, it's just like, all right, well, you know, you get this, I get that. It's not just a straight up leaving like KD and OKC. And also, if you look at the Clutch Sports AD LeBron thing, I don't see LeBron having like the Vince Carter years of his career. You know what I mean? Where he's there to be there and he's in his 40s. I think LeBron James was second in MVP voting, and MVP in my mind. Not that the second part matters, but second in MVP. So I don't think he's going to retire, right? He's second in MVP voting. He's an MVP champion. I don't think he's going to retire anytime soon, but I also don't see him playing when he's 42 years old like Tom Brady. So at some point, LeBron will start to decline, and he will leave. And I think if you're Rich Paul, you just look at AD, you say, all right, LeBron spent 7 years in Cleveland, went to Miami, won championships there, and then he went back to his hometown, won a championship there. And then he decided what he wanted to do with the rest of his time after he had some championships under his belt, and he wanted to do what made him happy. That's what we're going to do with you. You spend 7 years with the Pelicans. You leave. You learn how to win championships in Los Angeles. Go back to your hometown. Take a trip back to your hometown. And then the rest is on you. House money. Very interesting. Jalen, I want to thank everyone for listening to the podcast exclusive. You always get the gems in the podcast exclusive. And we want you to get involved. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can even leave us a podcast. We only have time for one today. And it is this one.
What up, Jalen? What up, Jacoby? It's Ian from North Carolina. I got a question for you. It's a cultural or regional. and I don't think it's regional, so it really just comes down to cultural. Are crock pots cultural? I got a crock pot today, and I'm so excited to use it, and I look like Jacoby. Yep, medicinal.
Wow. Wow. Okay, I've been to a lot of kitchens. And the crock pot usually isn't out on the counter, so it's hard to tell if they're in there. But I know we had one growing up in my house. I know that for sure. Red with some black designs on the side. And I remember Mom Dukes used to like put stuff in there in the morning. And we'd go home after working after school and eat that for dinner. I know that my wife is living the Instapot life for a while, and she looks more like Jalen. So I don't feel educated enough to know if crock pots are cultural or regional. Jalen, your thoughts. Are crock pots cultural?
A couple of things. So I initially thought that it was only a thing that people that look like me was doing. Because if you go into a black house, it was certain things that were just there even if they weren't being used. One of them was like the blue Crisco can. Tommy, I appreciate this. They were just sitting on the stove, and you just reuse that grease over and over and over again. It sit there forever. Same grease, using it over and over again. Look over, and another thing every kitchen always had, it's a crock pot. So I thought it was something that was like just a black thing. And then I realized as I started, you know, traveling and having friends in the suburbs and stuff, I realized it wasn't. So I'll say that that's universal.
Universal. But I'll say one thing about the crock pot. I always enjoyed the food that comes out of there. The meat always gets super tender. There's all kinds of sauces involved. Like whenever my wife breaks out the crock pot or the crack pot or the Insta pot or whatever you want to call the pot, I always know we're in for something special. I've always appreciated that. Like a nice pot roast. My wife makes a chicken tikka masala from it. Big shout out to Ian in North Carolina. Don't forget to get involved. Call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a message. We will be
back. You just challenged me. I'm glad you asked me that. I'm Darrell Reverson. Now, I'm about to start trying to practice on my crock pot skills.
You know what? Don't edit that part out. I don't mind calling it crack pot for a while. Crack pot's like a detective or something? I don't even know. Yeah, I got let me just say real quick what's happening in my house. Is my wife is working now, right? So she's working. She's getting home at like 6-7. I just said to her, I was like, I gotta do some dinner cooking. Because like last week we were just doing restaurants and takeouts and frozen stuff. And I was like, I gotta start cooking dinner for us. That's one of my new projects right now, is getting back in the kitchen and cooking up some good meals for the family. I'm gonna go do that. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.